But this is how you should pray, Jesus said. He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, our sins, as we also have forgiven our debtors, or those who've sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." To do a super quick recap, you know, our Father, Jesus says it, our Father, he's our Father, our Heavenly Father. We can call him, the one Bible verse says, Abba, Father. That's Dad. He's our Heavenly Dad. That brings me great comfort to know I can speak to Dad in heaven. Hallowed be his name. He is the most awesome God. You know, I'm using that example again of little Samson. Yes, Matt and Jess, made that baby. But let me tell you, that was the design of God. And when you look at that little baby, you just go, mate, that is incredible. You know, you've just got to give God the glory and say, you are awesome. This isn't just some evolutionary slime. This is handprint. This is his DNA's on this. He made this. He formed this. Hallowed be his name. He is awesome. He's holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And I know we live in a world where it's all about us. In the hotel I stayed at in Bali, it said, there's a little slogan there for massages. The most important thing in the world is that you're happy. And it's just like, yes, be happy. But that is not the most important thing in the world, to be happy. You know what? Really, I just want to make him happy. On earth as it is heaven. And then he says, give us today our daily bread. I love the fact that he said daily bread. He didn't say weekly bread. He didn't say monthly bread. He didn't say rations. He was saying there's something in daily devotion with him, something fresh about that. And then a big challenge, he says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. And you know, that can be a real stumbling block for many people, because forgiveness is a real confrontational thing. And sometimes we're happy to say, God, I'm sorry for what I've did, but I don't want to forgive the person that's stuffed around with me or sinned against me. But Jesus says it like, hey, these two are connected. These aren't separated. So let's pick it up with, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And, you know, to be honest, when you think about what Jesus said there, it sort of stumps me. It stumped me when I was preparing this. Lead us not into temptation. And the reason why that confused me a little bit is because Jesus himself was led by God to be tempted just a couple chapters earlier. You can read it in Matthew 4 or Luke 4. It says that Jesus, full of the Spirit, was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. What's beautiful is 40 days later, Jesus leaves that, and it doesn't say he left full of the Spirit. It says he left in the power of the Spirit. So there's something in there where Jesus is sort of saying, listen, lead us not into temptation, but he's linking him, saying, but when you do, let's have deliverance from the evil one. Okay? And I know, you know, I don't want to give the devil glory. I certainly don't want to preach a message about him, but it is good at times to be aware of who the enemy is, because he is active. James 1:12, I want to make this clear though, if you're getting a little bit like, oh, what's going on here? James 1:12 says this, blessed is one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. That's good. When tempted, verse 13, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Let's make that really clear. God is not going to tempt you with sin. However, and you may get the picture of this, and it may take a little bit of time to digest this, at times he's going to lead you into arenas where temptation will exist. But he wants you to have deliverance from the evil one. He doesn't want to see you down and out. He wants to see you winning this. Okay, it actually says in verse 14, we're tempted when we're dragged away by our own evil desires and we're enticed. So let's just have a look at the enemy. It's really quick. And I hope this makes you go, oh, I'm not going to shut down, because, you know, I'm not going to talk about the devil and he wears red tight pajamas and, man, he's evil. But firstly, I just want to say he sucks. I hate the guy. And he hates you. He hates every one of you. He's got a picture of you on his office wall and there's dart holes all through it. In your eyes, you know, and he just does not like, there's not one person he looks at and goes, I like you. Even the people that think they worship him, he still hates them, because he's the father of lies. It says in 1 Peter 5:8 that he is like the devil is like a lion that prowls looking for someone to devour. He hates you. He hates your family. He hates everything about you. He hates everything that God created. I want to say this. You've got weaknesses. Guess what? He knows your weaknesses. If you were to write down top 5, top 10, top 100, however many there is, of the weaknesses that are in your life, he already knows them. And he's going to try to use that to bring us down. You know those buttons that some of us have? I've got this button it's pretty difficult to touch, but every now and then people touch that button in my life and it transformed me into ugly, that button where you just, you know, ugly, right? You know that button? We've all got those buttons. Do we all got that button? All the husbands, wives and partners, does everyone have that button? Yes, we've all got that button. Yeah. Mothers and fathers and daughters, do you know? We've all got that button. Well, guess what? The devil knows that button as well. He is an expert in trying to bring you down. You know what? He has a mission to destroy your life. John 10:10 says his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll kick you while you're down. He'll put the knife deeper than it should go. He'll remind you of stuff that you did a long time ago. He'll remind you of stuff you did yesterday. His job is to bring pain to our lives. Now, if that makes you feel uncomfortable and you go, I don't really care, well, you're in trouble. Because Jesus made this part of the prayer, deliver us from the evil one. Now, before we give him any glory, I just want to say, just to remind him, because he might be listening to this message, that he got massively outmatched and massively destroyed by Jesus on the cross. And right now he's like, oh yeah, that's right. And he's actually got a big tattooed shoe print on his forehead that says, you lost by Jesus, okay? Because it says Jesus crushed him underneath his feet, okay? So we just remind him of that before you go, I'm scared. You don't need to be scared because Jesus is on your team. But we've got to be realistic and understand that we live in a world called Earth. We're not in heaven yet. That's full of sin, corruption, and a thing that exists in all of our lives called our flesh. Every one of us, okay? Now, I promise you, this message is not to scare you and make you freak out. This message is to give you an understanding that Jesus has a purpose in your life, that he wants to bring victory in your life. To have victory in your life, it's not just going to be smooth sailing all the time. You're going to have to fight some battles. And I do know this, and I was sharing with someone today who was really, really touched by this message, saying, you know what, because the question was, why? Why would he let me do that? You know what, when you have victory over something, it helps not yourself, but it can help others as well. You say, man, I used to fight this. I used to fight depression. I fought addictions. I fought these things. And man, I've got victory because of Jesus. And mate, the devil can't use that against me. See, I know, without using pride, but I know the devil's already lost the eternal battle for my soul. Okay? Because I'm not going to heaven because I've been a good person. I'm going to heaven because Jesus paid the price for me. That's the grace of God. I don't deserve it. I know he's lost that battle, so his mission is to stuff this up, temporary stuff. I want to mess this up. I'm trying to mess family up. He wants to paralyze me, wound me, offend me, addict me, whatever he can do. But remember, it's not Jesus that does the tempting. So if you ever feel like you're in an arena or a battlefield, here's a good verse to really cling to. Remember this verse, because some of you are going through stuff as I speak. Some of you are fighting battles that you go, I just don't know if I can win this. Well, check this one out. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. It says this, so if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. That's a good warning. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. Here's a really key. Here we go. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. I was adding a few bonus words together there. Let me say that again. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Really important to know that, okay? But when you are tempted, because it's going to happen, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. See, sometimes people think, mate, God lets me take a beating. No, 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 no. God will let you go into arenas, but he is also right there to help you and to win, so that you can win, so you can have endurance. He's never going to leave you so you just get a beat down by the enemy. We only get that beat down, and we'll talk a bit more about that in a sec. But God wants us to have victory. You know, I was thinking, I used to play chess as a young kid, okay? I played a lot of chess, okay? My dad had this grand plan to turn me into a grandmaster. I could play chess when I was 4. Which is scary because my daughter's 4. And believe it or not, I could probably play chess almost as good as I was when I was four as I can now. Because my dad made me play it every day. Pretty rough childhood, hey? Play chess now. My brother could play it when he was three. Okay, he was on the front page. He made television because he was a three-year-old that could play chess. Amazing. Amazing what a kid can do. My dad had this plan. Of course, when you're five, you don't really want to play chess for a living. You want to be a millionaire, police officer, sports star. So I didn't really throw those plans away. But I do remember this. And I played chess more than all through my life, basically. But my dad used to never, ever let me win. Never. He was never going to just hand me a victory. What he would do is he started what's called queen odds. And the queen is the most powerful weapon on a chessboard. And he would say, look, I'm going to start without my queen. See if you can beat me. And he'd beat me, he'd beat me, he'd beat me. He would not go soft, I promise you. He would just whoop me. But eventually, guess what? I beat him with that queen off the table. Then I beat him again. And then he says, all right, no worries. I'm going to give you rook and knight odds. And so he gives the queen, but he takes a rook off and a knight off, which is the horsey. People that don't play chess call it the horsey, right? But it's called a knight, right? The horsey. Yeah, or the castle. The castle is the rook, right? The castle, I forgot. And, you know, I beat him. Then he'd say it's rook odds. And you know what? I can beat him at rook odds, but then he'll say, all right, knight odds or bishop odds. And you know what? I still can't beat him at those odds, but I have beat him once or twice at those odds. But then if I ever play him even strength, I've never beat him. Had draws, but I've never beat my dad at even strength. But the reason why I say that is my dad had a vision that he knew he was training me to become a great chess player. And the reality is, a lot of you, if you play chess, you could beat me. Okay, so don't think I'm pro-as and challenge me and, oh, I beat Troy, right? Because that could happen, okay? But I want you now to parallel that to the things of God and understand this. Jesus wants to train you for battle. I mean this, okay? Now, he doesn't want to train you so you go to Afghanistan. I'm not having a dig at the soldiers here. He's training you for spiritual warfare. He wants us to have victory, and so he is by our side, and he's saying, I will coach you through. I will walk you through. I'm not going to leave you hanging. The only time you're ever going to be hanging is if you choose to be hanging. But you can have absolute victory in Jesus' name because I'm with you. I think of it like a soldier. He is like this awesome commander that is preparing us. Because listen to what 1 Peter 5:8. This was that verse about the devil being a roaring lion. Well, listen to verse 9. He says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same treatment, the same kind of sufferings. You can resist him. You can stand firm. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will flee from you. Now, we've got to know that. We've got to know this as Christians. Now, we don't want you to be ignorant and just go, no, it doesn't even happen, man. The devil's not even real. That scares me when people just sort of almost like throw off all spiritual matters. And in saying that, it scares me when some Christians think everything's spiritual, like a light bulb goes out and they blame the devil. I'm thinking, that's not the devil. It's just a light bulb, man. You know, it'd be different if it happened in church, right? I mean, but sometimes we just sort of are so naive and we just go, oh, no, we don't really care about the devil. He doesn't do anything. Mate, he is at work. Ephesians 6:12 says, our struggle's not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against the dark powers, against the principalities, against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. This is real stuff. And I'm not trying to do this to make us go, ooh, I'm trying to get us a bit inspired because Jesus prays this because he wants us to win. He wants us to have victory. He doesn't want us to be Christians that are just always down and out. He wants us to be Christians that are having some victories. Looking back, you know, I remember when I beat that stuff. I beat that addiction or I beat that temptation. He wants us to be able to look back and go, man, I'm walking victory to victory because of him. And now new levels, new devils. The question is do you want the victory? Do you want to be able to pray, lead us not into temptation? But if you do, deliver us from the evil one. I certainly want that. So I just want to share a few quick keys. Only take a few minutes here. Some keys that I really believe will help you have victory over the enemy. One, I think you need to definitely acknowledge that you're in a fight. Don't be naive. Like I said, it surprises me when people don't even want to... Brother Nick. You just got on the podcast for that, man. Nice one. It surprises me when people are like, so just vague about the enemy. You know, stuff is going on in the world right now that it's horrible. I know I shared a bit about this last week, and I don't want to go into great detail further, but there's a doctor that just stood trial for 16,000 horrible abortions, okay, not clinically the way you're meant to do it. And guess how many news reporters turned up to his trial? One. Mate, they're all more interested in what Puff Diddy Daddy did on stage last week or what Justin Bieber did with his hair at the hair salon. I mean, we're just more interested in stuff that doesn't matter these days, but evil is happening throughout the world right now. I just read an article today. A young boy and his relay team won the state championships in Columbus. At the end of the race, he saluted God like, yeah, and they banned him from the state championships for that. That's it. You can read it yourself. Mate, stuff's going down in the society right now trying to get God out of the equation. You can worship anything but Jesus right now in a lot of countries. It's the most banned book. You know what? The Bible is banned in more countries than any other book. His name's Bud, and his name's the most illegal name on earth right now in some countries. There's people that will lose their lives today because they worship Jesus. There's people that will lose their home today because they follow Jesus. There's young girls, unfortunately, that will get acid poured over their face because they decided they're a Christian. And what's really sad is their parents have put the acid on their face because they say, no, you're not my daughter. I never want you to get married. I never want you to carry on the family name. So stuff is happening that's evil. There's more stuff happening in here than what's happening that we see on Sunrise or Today Tonight and how meat prices have gone through the roof and this chicken got, oh man, that chicken just didn't get looked after like it should have. Yeah, well, sorry for all you animal lovers, but to me, there's other stuff that's more important than what credit card percentage the Commonwealth Bank's offering me and how it's just so high. Or the fees that Jetstar... Actually, that is real big news. The fees that Jetstar charge, my goodness. What a joke. What a joke. All right, sorry, back on with love here. The devil, we need to acknowledge that we're in a fight. Secondly, we need to identify. And this is tough sometimes because this is hard because we're going down a track that we don't want to sometimes because it's embarrassing. But we need to identify our weaknesses. You know what's really sad? When you go back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve sinned. They ate the apple or whatever fruit it was. Probably it was durian, right? Whatever they ate, right? Right? Whatever fruit it was, they ate the apple. And then it says they covered themselves and hid from God. I mean, God must be just shaking his head going, are you serious? Hiding from me? How can you hide from God? Like, it's not like God's going, where are you guys, man? I can't find you. I know when I play hide and seek with my daughter, I may have shared this before. I don't know, because I talked the morning and night. You know, my kids, they'll hide under the blanket, making so much noise, going, Dad, come and find us. It's like, where are you? And they're giving away. I'm thinking, they can't hide from me. They're under the table going, giving out whistles like, woo, woo, like secret signals. But we can't hide from God. Your weaknesses, he already knows them. It's just being honest enough to identify and go, Jesus, these are areas that I'm struggling in. These are areas where I'm falling in. Because if you can identify it, you're allowing God to say, hey, the next step in allowing God to heal you. If you're not going to identify it, I mean, to me it's a little bit crazy because the devil will target these areas. He will target the areas that he knows he can get us to fall in. And then thirdly, I'd say, so firstly, acknowledge that you're in a fight. Secondly, identify your weakness. Thirdly, begin to deal with these struggles with God on your side. Okay? I know so many Christians struggle with guilt and shame and feel like they've always let the team down. Okay? I've been through that, okay? Trust me. There's so many times I've walked through, not since I've been in Darwin, but as a young guy, there were so many times that I walked into church feeling like I'm such a failure, honestly. I just knew, because I'd add up all the sins I did that week, I just felt like, I am not worthy in this place. I'm just putting on a face here because I'm Troy, the youth leader, or whoever, right? And I just know we've got to get past that mindset because Jesus wants you to win. He wants you to have victory. He wants to walk you through so that you can have victory in these things. But you've got to be honest enough to say, God, I need you. Because God does not take pleasure in seeing us in a state that he doesn't want us in. He wants us in a state of victory. He wants us in a state where we're like, mate, we're able to worship God and say, I'm not perfect. I'm human, but I tell you what, with Jesus on my team, we can get through this stuff. Man, get into his word. You know, when you read the Bible, you're going to get his word come alive. When I pray, just pray, Lord, I want victory over this. And it's so many times, and I'm praying, I've been praying the Lord's Prayer since we started this series on a daily basis. I love this idea, just praying every day, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. It makes me more aware of where the enemy's at. Makes me aware of his schemes. I know when I turn the TV on, there's some channels that are just downright stupid if I go to. There really is. It's just crazy if I'm going to flick on certain times. I'm just dumb if I'm going to look at that stuff. So I'm aware of these things. There's certain movies. Aren't you glad these days they tell you what's really bad in the movies on the front screen of a movie these days? And you can just read, oh, nudity, strong sexual references, drug use, horror. Well, right there, it's like a warning sign for me. I don't know for you. I go, well, if I'm going to watch that stuff, mate, I'm mincemeat if I'm not careful here. Yeah, that's just being honest, right? I'm not trying to be legalistic there. Begin dealing with these things with God on your team. And then fourthly, and I say this a lot, but starve your flesh and feed your spirit. And what I mean by that is every one of us, if you're a Christian, it says that your spirit's come alive to God, but you've still got this old sinful nature that ideally we've actually nailed to the cross, but it still keeps popping up again. And the more we feed it, it tries to draw us back into that old way of life. Always. Every one of us is at war with our flesh. There's not one person in here that's completely destroyed it. Every one of us will fight this. Whatever one we feed more is going to prevail. That's just the facts. If we're not hanging with God, we're not spending time in devotion, just then you know your spirit's not going to have the strength to bring you out. And you're not going to have that maybe the time where you go, God, I need you right now, because your flesh is just going to be so hungry. That's why hanging with other Christians, going to life groups, worshipping, praying, reading your Bible, these things are going to feed your spirit. James 1:14, I said this before, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their evil desires, their own evil desires, and then they're enticed. So your flesh, its mission is to drag you away from God. And then the devil comes in and says, here, take this cookie, man. Here, this will be good for you. He'll try to drag you away and then entice you. It's sneaky. And the more you're feeding your flesh, the more the enemy's got an opportunity to keep offering you the cookies. When you're feeding your spirit, and I'm not pervy, I'm standing as a guy that's made stuff up after stuff up, okay? So please don't look at me and go, oh, I so much want to be like you because you're perfect. Nah, wrong answer. Mate, I'm fighting battles exactly like you are. In fact, I'm probably fighting bigger battles. And I mean that like not with pride, but I've probably got a bigger target that's on my chest. And the devil knows he'd love to bring me down. He'd love to get me into an affair or get me addicted to something or get me down at that pub and drinking that or whatever. I know, because he knows if he can get me down, it'll probably affect other people. Now, I don't want anyone in this room to base your salvation on a man. That's crazy town, but it will hurt people. If you found out that I was a scammer or that I was nicking your money or I was cheating on my wife, that would hurt people, because people are people, right? So I know every one of us has got this target. And that flesh, it's always going to try to draw you away. But if you can start feeding your spirit, you'll be able to pray this with so much more confidence. I say this not with pride or arrogance, but I honestly know when I'm walking with God, I truly feel like nothing can bring me down. I really mean that. No matter what I'm going to face, when I'm walking with God, I simply look at God and just go, well, you're with me. This ain't easy. This is tough stuff. But your word says that you will get me through this. That's what your word says. I stand on your word. I didn't ask for a perfect airy-fairy fairy floss ride. I know it hurt. It bugs me when sometimes people say, when you become a Christian, happy days, man. People will deliver flowers to you every day and there'll be ice cream in the freezer and you'll just be, everything will work. Everyone will just love you and give you money all the time. No, not the case. And if that happens, it happens once in a blue moon. I'm giving you all ice cream after the service. So there you go, right? Ice cream. But the reality is Christianity is this continual battle. And we're going to fight stuff. And when we've got him on our team, we can win. And I tell you what, there's nothing better when you see Christians walking in victory. I love it when people come up to me or you go up to someone and say, man, I'm seriously winning this war. Ah, good on you, man. That's awesome. And when people come, look, I just can't beat this sucker. You know what? I just say, you know what? Just keep clinging to God. Cling to God. He is your source. Don't just read some book, self-help book, 10 Ways to Win. Mate, go to the book. go to the source and just start relying on Him to get you through. If you feel like up and down, up and down, up and down, just say, enough is enough. Jesus, I want to win. I want to have victory over this. And then second, lastly, starve your flesh, feed your spirit. Second, lastly, I want to let you know that the enemy, the devil, will have another crack at the title. And what I mean by that, he will come back. He'll have another go. It's really interesting. I won't take too much time to read it, but in Luke chapter 4, this is a famous passage. Jesus goes into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and the devil offers him all sorts of things. Hey, man, throw yourself off the cliff. Doesn't it say in the word that they'll catch you and his angels will look after you? And he says, well, you shouldn't put... I'm hungry. Well, why don't you turn those rocks into bread, you know? And Jesus just keeps punching him back in the face. Get out of town, mate. You got no chance. And then, you know what says this? In verse 13, it says, when the devil had finished all his tempting, he left until an opportune time. And I'm letting you know that's the same for every one of us. You have a victory today, that's awesome, but the devil's not going to quit. He's going to go, well, I'm going to wait for an opportune time. Now, I've watched enough Discovery Channel. I don't have Discovery Channel, but National Geographic Channel. And those lions, as much as we love them, but really they're really sneaky. You know, they'll lie in the grass. They'll wait in their pack sometimes. And you know what? Who do they attack? They don't go for the big mama. Mate, they always go for the little youngling or the one that's got a limping leg or the one that's isolated. They look for opportunity. They don't attack the herd. And sometimes, you know, and I'll share this morning, I don't agree with a lot of David Attenborough's philosophy on life, but he's a very knowledgeable man. But he, you know, he'll commentate what's happening. And look, this male is running to the east and the poor young gazelle is trapped. And then and now the brother male alpha will come and finish him off. And right? And they're really sneaky, these lions, and the way they coordinate their attacks. And that's what the enemy's looking for always, is an opportunity. If we give him an opportunity, he's going to take an opportunity to have a crack at the title. That's why sometimes people go, man, I've had victory over the devil. Yep, that's awesome, but that doesn't mean he ain't coming back. He might bring his brothers next time with him too. But I'll tell you what, if you keep walking with Jesus, man, you're going to have victory. I'll close with this. I sort of had this picture when I was preparing this. It'd be awesome in hell right now. I don't know what hell really looks like, other than not cool, right? But it'd be really cool if in the offices of hell, just use some imagination with me, they're coordinating their attacks right now. They're looking for isolated people. Let's have a dig. And then all right, who's going for Troy today? Wouldn't it be awesome in hell if they go, no. What's the point? We just get a beat down every time. Man, every time we go for Troy, he just pulls out the Jesus card, man. What can we do? He just flashes that. Get out of my face, buddy. You got no place here. This is trespassing. This is his territory. Wouldn't that be awesome if it was you as well? He goes for Noah. Noah's just young guy. Man, so the devil says, well, send your best on Noah. It's not going to matter, man, because Noah's got the best card to play. You know? I used to play Uno. I love Uno, don't you? And I've always got to alter the rules. I hate it when you play Uno and people save that draw for wild for the last card. It's like this power card. So I ban that. You can't finish with a draw for wild. You just cannot finish like that. But that's a bit like what we've got in our deck. We've got Jesus on our team. So when we're in a battle, when we're feeling the enemies on our, we just go, excuse me, man. What do you think you're doing? I've got Jesus inside of me. You can try all you want, but you ain't going to get to him. And then it says in his word that Jesus, he'll never put you in a place where you're going to lose. Every one of you has an opportunity to never lose again in life. I mean that, spiritually. Okay, I don't mean about sport. We lost in cricket today by 2 runs. I think they've fixed the results. But anyways, we came pretty close there. But we have an opportunity. And we're crazy to think probably that we're going to do this for the rest of our lives, but we definitely have an opportunity, standing on God's word, to never lose again. It's just a matter of how serious we want to be about it. Now, if you lose a battle, guess what? So have I. And I'll finish with this analogy. You know, boxing, you know, I know it's a sort of a brutal sport, But they don't judge the win by the round. You know, they judge it by the end result, right? And so a boxer might lose a round or two, but he might win the fight. And so every now and then I lose a round. Man, there's no question about it. Every now and then the enemy gets the upper hand on me. But at the end of the day, I look and I just go, did he win the fight? I don't think so. He might have won a round. He might have won an afternoon. He might have got me to do something I didn't want to do. But I come back to Jesus and I win the fight.